This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Fail. F-A-I-L. Fail. Text the word fail to 72881 by the end of this hour for your chance to win $1,000 like Leah in Sunnyvale did last night. We had a 6 o'clock winner on Janie's show.
Oh, cool.
Trying to bring as much of this $12,000 a day home to the Bay Area as we can. Fail is this hour's code word. 72881 is the text number. Message and data rates apply. Someone's going to get $1,000. Why shouldn't it be you? Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Alice studio the one and only, the legend, the man, the myth, Greg Proops.
Howdy,
Greg,
everybody.
It is so lovely to see you.
Good morning on this misty hobbity day here in the Bay Area.
Am I the only one hearing that break up there?
I don't hear it.
I don't hear it.
I don't hear it either.
What's happening? I can't hear anything. Oh, okay.
Nothing all of a sudden. As you started talking, my headphones totally broke up. So, Greg.
Yes, my darling.
How are you?
I'm real well.
You seem well.
Thank you. You look rested. You're very kind. I don't feel rested, but it's exciting to be here again, as always. I love getting up in the morning and being in San Francisco. Mm. It was 100 degrees in Los Angeles yesterday, and it was 50 degrees here yesterday. So it was the temperature drop. We drove up. And I just watched the thermometer the whole way. 105 at one point, and then we get in the city, 54.
Yes.
And you're like, that's quite a little drop.
It is. It's half the temperature.
It is.
Did you come up the 5, or do you do the 101? What do you?
No, we didn't have time to do the 101. The 101 is always a good idea on paper. And then halfway through the 101, you're like, God, why didn't we take the 5?
Can we just cut over
somewhere?
Right?
Long time in the car, you're over it.
Right? Yeah, you go like, oh, it'll be really scenic. And then you're like, I've seen 1,000 dead dogs now, and I really need to get over to the 5.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Well, I thought I'd wake you up and your listeners,
yeah,
Vinny.
Yeah, you got me.
No, after 7 hours, you're like, you know what? We could have been in San Francisco already.
Right? I'm surprised you didn't fly.
Well, we were gonna, and then there was a moment of like, let's just drive. So it's funner to drive because then we have the car, and then we can buy a bunch of stuff when we're here, like groceries, and you know, go to get all the coffee and stuff we like up here, and then take it back to LA.
Because you're from here, so you must have certain things that you specifically look for.
I do. I go to Grafeo Coffee over in North Beach, and if I fly, I have to stuff it in my baggage, and then I get the coffee police are just on my butt every minute of the day. It's also more fun to drive because then you can just go anywhere you want and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. Plus, it's just talk time. I mean, you and your wife must have wonderful, deep conversations.
Well, I listen to soul music while she sleeps.
Oh.
And so, yes, we do.
Oh, great. It's great bonding time.
You also can't stop and smoke a joint when you're flying. I've found over the years.
Right.
You can't
get... They frown on that.
Right. You can't get JetBlue to like, could you pull over in Coalinga so I could puff a bone?
Yeah.
Is not a request that they take.
Stop in Coalinga, huh?
Well, you know that Harris
so
Ranch.
Fragrant,
where
the, right.
Right, where Kauschwitz is or whatever.
Yes.
And
I do know.
So they have lovely bathrooms at that place, and they're in the Hacienda style. Yeah. And I said to my wife.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, you must be so thrilled that pot is legal now.
Well, it's fun, but I feel about it the way certain old school gay people feel about gay marriage. It was funner when it wasn't legal.
Although I was doing something slightly wrong.
Well, exactly. But it also limits the time you have to go to a douche canoe's house and spend time with them, which
it
was
true.
The problem with when marijuana wasn't legal, was that you often had to run into people that you wouldn't consort with. Well, were you not in the market for buying their weed?
It's true. That's an excellent point. I mean, it's been years since I bought any weed. It's
douche
30
canoe.
Years.
Douche canoes.
Too
and douche
late.
Catamarans. Those to escort the most douches at once. I don't know if you saw Moana, but...
I did.
Yeah. When I grew up in San Carlos, and The douche canoe that sold pot in my neighborhood had a crib around the corner from me and an apartment. And he was a manager of McDonald's in the daytime, and he sold pot at night. And he had a mimeographed, he had a mimeographed list of rules taped to the wall.
Oh,
and it was great. It said like, "I am open between 5 and 10, no later." Right, and like that, all these. It was just hysterical. And I said to him about McDonald's. So, do you mind working there? And he goes, "No, I've always loved the food, man." And then he goes, "Let me give you a tip, Greg. Don't dump the fries out of the bag. That's what keeps them warm." And I'm like, "This is some insight that I wasn't really." Yeah, we're getting deep here.
Yeah. Wow. I never really thought about
why would anyone think about it?
Right.
But he did. Stuart did.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy it, but I think that Harris Ranch in Coalinga, and I have no affiliation with them, don't go there. And if they opened up a dispensary there, they would have everything. Because it was 105 degrees.
Yes.
We stopped. There's a filling station. There's a barbecue thing. They have a steakhouse, obviously. You can get a drink and a hamburger, whatnot. And a hotel with a pool. And I thought, dispensary? This is the perfect place? If you weren't such Orange 45 loving, Nancy Pelosi hating weirdos out in the middle of the valley, you could really have a going concern
right.
here.
Right.
You know?
Yes, Vinny, your hand is up.
I have a question. So you mentioned smoking a bone, but have you tried the edibles?
I have, but I'm not an edible girl. Well, my problem with edibles is like, so you have a high dose candy bar or whatever, and it says it's this many grams. So you break off one little square. Well, how do you know that that particular square doesn't have more than the
Got
other?
Got an even mix.
Well, because
quality control.
Right. Several years ago, I ate part of one. And I was taking a walk with my wife, and she goes, you became hysterical and laughed at everything I said and said, "You're so funny." And she put me in the car and the back seat and drove me home, right?
Oh, like,
I was given a sippy cup.
Knocked you over.
Yeah, no. I was given a sippy cup, stuffed into the back seat, and forced to go home. We were in public, and she's like, "No more.
You're out of here."
And I went, like, I can't handle the dosage for some reason. Smoking it, I can. I'm like, Tommy Chong, you know, bring it, bro. But with eating it, I just... And the being high forever thing.
Yes.
That's the problem with it. Like, you know, you're high for hours and hours. Whereas I find with smoking, if you take one hit, say, for instance, you can gauge after 5 or 10 minutes where you're going on this.
Right, mm-hmm. Sure.
Whereas if you eat a candy bar, an hour later, you're like, "That was weird." And then 2 hours later, you're like, "Oh, no." And then 3 hours later, you're like, "Peanut butter, you know, snickerdoodle." And then, "Oh, my God, Harriet Tubman lives in my drawer." And you don't know what's happening. And
right.
It gets crazy.
And it keeps on going.
And then it surges back.
Right.
Yeah. And
sure.
You can eat all the pizza you like. It doesn't go away.
It's pretty neat, though. My buddy enjoys, and he was saying...
The edibles.
Yeah. Right. Well, he enjoys all the stuff, right. But he was like, "Yeah, the store's right by the Costco."
Yeah.
Like, I get my Costco stuff. And I go in the pot store and I get my supply. And just like you said, I only, when I smoked, I dealt with all the douche canoes.
Right.
I love the douche canoes.
Because you used to have to go to their house.
And where I live down south, you dealt with drug dealers.
Oh,
not
just
one guy,
no.
You actually dealt with a house that you didn't know anybody. And,
right.
And the bus would happen and... or you'd get ripped off. So there was a lot of nonsense around, you know, securing your stash for the week.
So
plus
back...
there was people who just sold pot, but then there was drug dealers,
right.
and then the danger began. Then there was firearms and police and things like that. Mm-hmm. And no one who's just a pothead wants to run into any of that. Also, you had to look at all the stuff you bought for them. They would always go like, "Look, I got a new stereo," and you're like, "I've been here for years. I don't have a stereo. I'm giving you all my money."
Yep.
And that always rankled me.
That's
to see their belongings. "Oh, look, I got it." And then in those days, in the 70s, "Look, I got a new dishwasher," and it'd be covered like colored avocado or goldenrod. Mm. Yeah.
Those were the big colors.
Yeah. The 70s were full of burgundy.
Yes. And well, he's like,
burlap.
Tan. Yeah, burlap.
Burlap that people would put
we
on their walls.
We had burlap walls.
Why did we hang plants from the ceiling? Did anybody? Why were there plants in baskets everywhere? Couldn't plants live on the counter?
Was that like a hippie thing? Because my mom had some. And she would make macrame beaded plant holders.
Yes.
And then you have the problem of like the dripping water.
Yeah. As soon as you watered it, it poured everywhere.
Right. What were we thinking?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So you're coming from San Carlos, you say.
Yes.
And so coming out of high school, did you decide I'm going to be a stand-up and come up to the city at some point?
I could think of little else. That's all I thought of. Yeah.
So you were this funny even in high school? Like, yeah. People were like, oh, my God.
I hosted all the talent shows and all that jazz. And we did a terrible stand-up in high school. Then we went to college San Mateo for a couple of years and did stand-up there. And then all I wanted to do was move to San Francisco because of the stifling whiteness of where I'm from. Although Redwood City is considered quite white now, it was not in the 60s and 70s. We used to go to Cinco de Mayo parties on the street and stuff in Redwood City. It was way more Latin, I think. And so we came to San Francisco. As soon as our gay friends moved to San Francisco when we were in high school, we'd go and visit them all the time. And any excuse to come up here and see bands or, you know, take drugs or whatever it was, just jam up the 101 and, right, like, we've got to go to San Francisco and then come home at 3 in the morning or whatever.
Oh,
and
must have been awesome living here.
So do you have a memory of your first club performance in San Francisco where, like, the...
I don't.
You don't have, because you did too many.
I did so many,
to...
yeah. I can... The Holy City Zoo on Clement Street was a complete dive, and Robin Williams started there, and he was our, as my friend Warren Thomas used to say, Mork was our Elvis. And because he invented stand-up here, right, for, as far as we knew. And it held about 80 people. And there was a terrible pillar in the middle of the room that kind of blocked everyone from the show. The restroom was unspeakable. Oh. And it was great, you know. So there'd be like a million comics there. We're all in our 20s. Like every comedy scene, you need a clubhouse. And then the other cafe on Carl and Cole... and both of which are gone now. The Punchline was there, but that was the big time.
To get into the Punchline.
Right. And now, of course, I played the Punchline for so long that I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, God, the Punchline.
Right? I remember dying, you know, on stage. But people mistake dying on stage for a terrible experience. It's a learning experience. Like, I don't think you're forced in any other gig to go through a crucible like that. And that's the thing about stand-up. Once you die a bunch of times, then you realize it's okay and you're going to make it again the next night.
You're still alive.
Right.
Weirdly.
You're going to fix the things that didn't work and you're going to try to make those better, and then you're going to go up and do it again. And then, because people go, oh, I could never do it. And I'm always like, good, don't. There's too many.
You're right. You can't.
Right. I don't want the competition.
Well, unfortunately, it's a self-proclaimed reality for some people where they just go, I'm a comedian. You go, no, you know, you're not.
I don't think you are until you've been up there a while. I see the same thing, Vinny. You know, I the other day a young person had actor, writer, comedian on their thing, and I went, I want to see you in the clubs for 10 years, and then we'll talk about being a comedian. There's no other way to do it. As Han Solo once said, good against remotes is one thing, good against the living is another. You can YouTube your life away, but I want to see you up in front of a crowd of 150 people that don't know who you are and make them laugh, and then we'll talk about whether you're a comedian or not.
Greg Proops is at Punchline all this weekend. You are recording do you call it an album? What do you call it?
Yeah, we call them albums. Okay. Although everyone will download it, as we were discussing before. It might come out on vinyl. It's very topical, so it'll be dated within 48 hours of my recording it, but I'm going to do it anyway this weekend. It'll be fun. I was thinking of calling it Make America Greg Again, but then I thought, why give him any credit for anything? And I don't want to do a Cambridge Analytica generated, you know, Russian bot title of an album. So I think it's going to be called Greg Proops Alone in San Francisco, because we're totally ripping off the Thelonious Monk album, Thelonious Monk Alone in San Francisco, where he's on a cable car waving, which I love 60s albums where, oh, it's from 1959, I think. Thelonious Monk, the piano player. He's in a suit with a hat on, holding onto a cable car, going like this.
Waving.
Yeah, and that's the whole album.
They were walking around the city just taking random pictures.
Right. Remember when album covers were just like, hey, I'm in the city. You know, I thought, my wife pulled it out of her record stack the other day, and I was like, please let's steal that. Everything about it. Just the cover, me on a cable car going like this. It's going to be good.
So that means you have a photo shoot to do this weekend.
Well,
unless you've already got a picture like that banked.
I don't, and I'm not going to Photoshop it. I'm going to get on a cable car and act like a complete ding chow and wave.
Beautiful.
From it. Yeah, and have my wife take a picture.
Very
of me.
Nice. Yeah. So are you going to record every...
oh, yeah.
So you record it all and then just cut together the best delivery?
Yeah, I record it four times because I have four sets, and then I'll let my guys at Special Thing Records, they'll edit it for me. And I don't take part in the editing process, other than something I'll say like, don't use that joke, it's awful. I feel like you have to have an outside ear. If I do it, I'll be tinkering with everything, and it'll never get edited.
I'm sorry. Did you say you have a director for it? Then there's someone who's.
Oh, my buddy. Well, Ryan's coming. Ryan and Matt run a Special Thing Records, and like they did Patton's album that got a Grammy last year. They do lots of people's albums, Jen Kirkman and whatnot, and they're a comedy record label. What can I tell you? These things still exist. We're like jazz. Right. You just don't know. Mm-hmm. And
still there.
So I let them edit it, like I say, because it's better to have someone else that's not you edit it, I think. I'm not Todd Rundgren, and I don't sit in... I'm sorry, I'll use a more recent reference.
Todd works.
I'm not Jay-Z, and I don't sit alone in a room and edit and write everything I do. Right. I think it's important to let other people hear it.
It's an interesting angle because so many people do podcasts now that you'd almost dissociate, like, this is an album. You've worked out the material. Right. You're going to go in and perform it. It's not just a free form.
Well, I did the podcast last night, and I've been using the material on the podcast kind of, workshopping it, some of it, to see if it'll work. I want the next president, I want to be a woman, but I want her to have all these qualifications. Like, I want her to be obese and old and incoherent and a congenital liar. You know, just the things that
the
men
things
are...
we're used to now.
Right, the standards.
Right.
So I made an album years ago in Minneapolis, and I got out there for the first set, right? And it's four sets. I had four shots to do it, and the guys were recording it there. There was a different record label then. And I'm about 25 minutes in, and I haven't bought a laugh. I mean, it's not just quiet. It's like Arctic, right?
Oh.
All you can see is like frozen pine trees and ermines cowering in the distance, right? Like, there's just, it was cold, right? Like, oh. I couldn't warm this crowd up. And just all you heard was crackling, like as boots hit the tundra, right? Nothing, right? And finally, I said, we're making an album here tonight. And someone in the back of the room went, no way, like that. And then there was a huge laugh. And I was like, I only have this many chances to get it right. We'd gone 25 minutes into the first set without one. It was like, what if Johnny Cash had played instead of San Quentin, played like, the Grand Canyon? That was what it was. Just nothing. And so I worry about that.
Do you ever have dreams where everything you say is getting a laugh? Like, I just can't imagine what Greg Proop's dreams must be like.
You don't want to go there. It's a bad neighborhood. That's a nightmare that comedians have, right? Because comedians want to be taken seriously, right? Like, you don't want everyone to laugh at everything you say. But then again, when you're on stage, you want everyone to laugh at everything you say so that there's no lulls. And that's when I come in. Matt Weinhold is an old friend of mine, said to me once, your style of comedy is you tell one joke and then you spend the next 10 minutes berating the crowd for not laughing more at it. But I won't do that this weekend.
You actually, that's not, that. I don't think that's accurate.
You've seen me do stand-up.
I've seen you do stand-up a bunch of times. And the thing about Greg is you're laughing at the thing you just figured out from 5 minutes ago. By the time, and you're just rapid fire. Like you,
yeah, I go
fast. Actually feel like you're some kind of a test. Like if you've had too many drinks, just hold on to your seat because you're just going to get mowed over. I mean, you're so fast. And it's funny because even, this morning we were talking about how long we've known you and how many times you've been on.
Oh, my God.
Like, Greg's coming in to make us feel dumb later. So that's going to be, we're looking forward to
I'm
that.
I'm glad I can do that. Last night, a guy at the podcast, I was in the middle of some diatribe, and I was getting laughs, and he's looking at the menu at the punchline, and I went, will you please put the menu down? At what point do you go like, the thing I've paid money for and the guy standing on stage rattling on, I'd rather look at the menu for a while now. And by the way, the punchline menu, I'll describe it to you in case you're wondering and you're coming this weekend. There's hummus and there's nachos. Okay, that's it. It's a comedy club. What do you think they're going to have, like turkey leg or something? Do you think there's going to be like, I'll have the bananas Foster. But first I'd like to start with, no.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's
Bring me
nothing.
Snacks.
And it says house made hummus on the menu, which makes me cry laughing. I come through the kitchen every night
because
the punchline is configured.
Oh, no. Are you going to blow their cover right now?
Well, there's a group of Armenian men blanching garbanzo beans in a giant pot back there.
No.
I can tell you that when they say house made hummus, they...
they mean it.
Are you kidding?
Right.
Am I feeling dumb again?
Why do they have a menu for a comedy club when there's nothing? There's a pulled pork sandwich.
Oh. How's that? Have you had that?
Of course I've had it. I'm desperate. I'm there alone. What am I going to do, go across the street to Subway?
Let me ask you a question.
It's a comedy.
Speaking of comedy,
I'll have the prime rib.
I won't call them your colleagues, but Twitter does seem to have become a dangerous place for comedians. Plenty of people, and I'm not just talking about Roseanne.
Yeah,
Gilbert got himself thrown out of some work. And are you on there? Do you spend time?
Of course.
Do you feel like it's a great way to communicate? Why are you on there?
To promote my stuff. Twitter is, and also, you know, Twitter is where everybody goes to argue with each other about politics and stuff like that. I like it because it's entertaining. It's taken the place of, we used to get on the phone and call each other and talk about stuff for hours, and I think now everybody tweets at each other. It's a decent way to promote what you're doing. I don't know that young people are as interested in Twitter as middle-aged people. I think it kind of went the way of Facebook.
Agreed.
But I never tweet anything. I don't use profanity on it ever. And I don't personally attack people. Like, you know, you go on and it'll be like, hey, F you, you big douche. You know, and you're like, why? Don't do that. Because I learned early on, it's there forever. And they'll go back and find it.
Right.
So you can't call someone any sort of horrible, profane, derogatory. And I don't tweet sexist junk or anything like that.
I was just reading some director. Did you
read
that?
James Gunn.
Is this the James Gunn thing?
Yeah, well, no. It's a different director had erased like 10 years worth of tweets because he was like, you know what? I don't think I've done anything wrong. But I really don't want to leave that up. Mm. In case someone wants to go back and find some way
to get me in trouble.
Right. I don't know the guy, but I was surprised.
I don't worry about it that much.
Like, what'd you do that for?
Right. Well, I don't say anything awful. Like I say, I don't think I've ever printed out the F bomb on Twitter. Not because I'm so delicate, just that it feels like using exclamation points or writing in caps, like you're kind of have lost your moorings a little bit to swear on a printed thing that everybody looks at all the time.
And the whole all caps thing where you're yelling at everyone.
Yeah, what are you, Yeezy? Like when Kanye tweets things like, I'm half as influential as Picasso, you're like, okay, this doesn't seem profound. It seems like you're someone standing, what used to be people on a corner, like just screaming. You've got a small box you're standing on. You're wearing like an aluminum foil thing on your head. And that's what it seems like to me. So I'm not that my tweets are so beautifully constructed or anything. I'm completely political, so there's always politics, and my politics are screaming feminist Democrat politics. So it's easy to recognize me from a mile away.
Do you engage though? If people you know want to fight with you, you don't answer back.
Nope.
You
and if anyone contests me, I block them. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, because I have so many comedian friends who do. They argue with people on Twitter. Yeah. So like someone will come on and go, "Well, your opinion, I hate you," and blah blah blah. And then they go, "Well, you know, F you." And then the other person, and you're like, "So now what? You've wasted how much of your life on this?" And so
scrapping on Twitter.
Right. Nope. If you contest me or you disagree with my opinion, I block you, and I don't care to ever hear from you again. And it's not about democracy. Twitter's not a democracy. It's a bunch of people screaming at each other. So
right.
Yeah, no, I don't engage. I used to. Every once in a while, I would. And I've gotten in trouble once or twice.
Oh.
And my wife said to me, "Will you please calm down?"
She's like the guiding force.
Yeah. I was tired. I hadn't eaten anything.
Throws you in a backseat of a car if you need it.
Right?
You know.
I called a bunch of right-wing pundits. I compared them to Goebbels, right, who was Hitler's propaganda minister. And I got trolled so hard that I had to spend weeks blocking thousands of conservative trolls off my head. I mean, this went on so long because they can call out a bot army, right? And I went, why did I do that? How about just not tweeting that? And then I would have saved myself.
Right.
I could have thought it to myself and then gone home. Yeah.
Did you?
I called someone Goebbels.
When you saw what happened to Roseanne, what Roseanne did to herself,
yes.
Do you think that she should have lost her job?
She should have never been given the job. I think it's the greed of the networks that they knew. If you go on 4chan and Reddit and stuff like that and you believe that weird conspiracy stuff, we were talking about wearing a tinfoil hat. I mean, there's no basis for anything. You have to be kind of reality grounded as a human sometimes. Not that I am. I smoke a lot of weed. But I mean, she's known to have personality disorders. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
so you're hiring someone that you know is not completely stable. and you're giving them this giant network gig, and they're already a famous person, and then all of a sudden you're surprised that they write out their 4chan Reddit fantasies and stuff like this. So I kind of blame ABC. At least they sprang into action and, you know, fired her. But why put her on in the beginning? That's greed. Money, but network TV is all money. About greed.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's only one motivating factor in show business, and that's raw self-interest. You know, there's no, if you go to a, not even here, which is Alice, which is a nice organization, if you go to the parent company and you're at the board meeting, no one at the parent company goes, you know what we should do? Make children happy today. You'll never hear that in a meeting. It's show business.
That's not on the agenda.
No, no, no. They never go, you know what? We should have free cookies for everyone and parking and offer ride shares.
Greg, you're doing shows all this weekend.
I like how you shut that down.
You know what? No matter what you had just said, I was going to have to shut it down.
I know.
We're actually
they go,
out of time.
We want to sell more ad space.
Yes,
is the
ads,
first
listen,
thing they say at a meeting.
You know what
meeting.
They say to me at the meeting? The only thing that matters is that you play the commercials.
Uh-huh.
None of the other stuff
right.
matters.
Have you been listening to my show? We had all these great guests on. Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Make sure you play Sleep Train.
You played them a little bit too late.
Yeah.
Greg, it's always great to see
Thank you.
Thank you,
my darling.
Remember that you are going to be recorded if you go this weekend. You could be on the record. Don't do that annoying laugh that you have all the time. Right?
Doug from San Leandro.
That's funny.
Greg proves everybody is at the punchline. Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. This part of the show on Friday is brought to you by Sprint. Right now, call number 9-800-400-3697 gets a pair of tickets to see Niall Horan August 4th at the Shoreline Amphitheater with Maren Morris opening up the show. It's going to be a great show. Call number 9 right now, 800-400-3697. Get the new Unlimited Plus from Sprint. Visit your local Sprint store, sprint.com/unlimited, or call 800-SPRINT-1 to learn more. Switch today.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Lexi in the middle of the daytime here on Alice. She's really good. She's got a great show. And...
oh, yeah. Lexi, L-E-X-I, Lexi, 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 Lexi. I think Bryn might be getting ready for the Friday montage.
I think
like,
he's
some moves.
He's got his own dance going to the Lexi song.
I'm just
song.
Loving this song, that's all.
Are you really?
I am.
All right. Well,
maybe
anyway.
I love your reaction to it.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't feel it. But I'll tell you one thing. It makes me love the Jane song a lot more.
Jane, you're playing a game called...
That's right. Alice is open all day. Stay with the station after we're done. It's still great. Here's what's happening. Yesterday on our show, Hooman and his friend Rachel...
Where's Rachel?
Did a movie review for Mission Impossible 6.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd mention that it's already off to a record start.
Is that so?
In the box office.
It had they started playing it last night?
6 million.
Oh, boy.
In just a few showings last night nationwide.
Wow.
They say it beat Mission Impossible 5, which also had a similar early start.
It has a 98% on Rotten Tomato. Does it still have that, Hooman? Oh, he's taking
the
winner's
info.
Which is, yeah, apparently 98% is just unheard of.
So, looks like it's going to be a big box office weekend, everyone.
Hooman has been in the other studio there all morning long. I swear, anytime you walk in, he's trying to show you part of this James Corden thing from last night. I guess Tom Cruise jumped out of a plane with James Corden on his show.
As a bit.
So, it's, you know, so he's doing a tandem drive, dive.
Corden is.
He's attached. But then, of course, you know, Tom's doing all his moves. Even they come down to the landing. And so, you know, Tom cruises. He comes kind of floating over the field and he puts his feet down at just the right point and just runs two steps.
And, uh-huh.
and he's, you know, it's perfect. And then James, he comes down and he just like falls. His legs split. He falls forward. He face plants. And Tom Cruise comes running over to him.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, you pulling it up?
Oh, there's Tom. Oh, so just nice. Tom just runs it out.
Nice. Not even, just
good
barely.
Job.
And here comes James Corden in, and he's...
Watch the chainsaw.
Boom. Boom.
Oh, on his butt and
boom.
The splits.
And right onto up. His face. And then Tom Cruise comes running over and...
To help him.
Like, lays down on top of him, like, oh.
You did it. You did it.
Did you mention that the whole thing is on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page?
Oh, I did not. Okay. Thank you for putting it up there. You can watch it on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook
that
page.
That is... I give Corden a lot of credit. Yeah. I wouldn't have wanted to jump out of a plane.
Oh, no. No way. Yikes.
It is still at 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right.
Hooman, are you there? Oh, he's back. Okay. Wait,
no,
jumped.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
I was just mentioning that the movie's off to a record start already at the box office financially.
Well, I was telling Sarah that it has 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
My goodness.
The two critics that didn't like it, they couldn't really say anything bad about it. They're just like, well, it's just an action movie. Well, of course it's just an action movie. That's what it was meant to be.
Right.
So
One of the best ones.
I hope both of you and Yuzette and Bryn will all get your asses to the theater and see it.
I'm going to wait till I can rent it.
All right. Thanks so much.
Maybe I'll go. I don't know. I could start going to movies again now that I have nothing to do anymore. Now that my yard's done.
Well, you got houses to look at, I heard.
No, I'm not doing that.
Oh.
It was just that one house. I was like, oh, look at that.
All right.
Let's go check that out.
You mean the one in Petaluma?
No, the one in Napa.
Oh, just the one house.
Just the one. And then it sold before we could even look at it.
Well, that's how that goes.
Yes. Yeah, you see something you like, everyone else saw it too.
The Mega Millions jackpot that was won here in the Bay Area just the other day. No one stepped up yet, so
do
not have a claimed winner. But they're now saying they're even richer than originally thought.
Oh, really? Why?
The final sales ended up being $543 million, up from $522
million.
Mm. There you go.
What's the lump sum payout on something like that?
No idea.
In the $3 millions? In $300 millions?
Probably something like that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Why did it go up?
That's just...
Somehow between the time they announced it and the time that they finalized all the numbers. Mm.
You have 1 year to claim your prize.
I think that what you do, I'd be very worried about holding onto a piece of paper that's worth that much money. So, I think you quickly get a lawyer to help you get things in order.
You got to have a lawyer claim it for you, too. I mean, it seems like one of those things where the last thing you want is everyone knowing you won the lottery. And everyone on earth has got their hand out.
Right. Sunday, this coming Sunday, is National Lipstick Day.
Oh, Lipstick Day.
Will you participate in wearing lipstick this Sunday?
I don't wear lipstick. I wear lip gloss. Is that the same thing?
No.
Well, I usually wear some kind of lipstick.
Color?
You do?
Yeah.
Huh.
You know,
you know what? I start off wearing it when I leave my house.
I know. By the time I've drunk my cup of coffee.
Yeah.
If you want to kill two birds, this Sunday is also Chicken Wing Day.
Oh.
So you can do chicken wings and lipstick. Yeah.
Here, I thought today was Chicken Wing Day.
No, Chicken Wing Day. We're doing it today because we're not on the air on Sunday.
Oh.
And we had chicken wings in here. And
I did have some yesterday.
Don't forget, it's Chicken Resignation Day.
But what's the deal? So is it Mac that's giving away free lipstick?
Mac is giving away free lipstick.
Oh,
no purchase necessary. If you stop by a Mac store.
They're not cheap.
Yeah.
No. Not. They'll have 9 different shades for you to choose from.
Mm.
And if you can't make it to the store, you can get your free lipstick online, but you'll have to make a $25 purchase.
Oh, well, that's not free.
Well, if maybe you use their makeup anyway and you were going to get some.
Sure.
Say anything.
Blush.
Powder. Blush.
Yeah.
Blush. You're going to get some MAC Rouge.
Eyeliner.
Anyway, and then you can get your free lipstick sent out too. Mm. Fun.
It's also rain day on Sunday, so if it's raining and you got lipstick and a chicken wing,
it's a good
day. You got all three of them, everybody.
Wow.
The Holy Trinity.
The trifecta. Red is the number one sexiest and most powerful lipstick as well. Red. Hot pink is considered the most fun. Blue is the wildest. Black is the edgiest.
Oh, Jane.
Nude is the most perfect. Well, Jane wears bright red a lot, too.
She does.
Or sometimes
the only person I've seen in real life wearing black lipstick though.
She doesn't. Does she? How often does she do that?
I don't know. I feel like I've seen her in black lipstick.
Have I not?
Remember. I don't
see her do that that often, but she'll do red.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm just picturing her in black lipstick because she's so goth.
She is goth.
She definitely has black lipstick, though.
For sure. She's.
I mean, right?
She's working the goth thing for sure. Yeah.
And she doesn't do just red. She does blood red.
Yeah.
It's like a dark, lustrous red. A ruby red.
Anyway, National Lipstick Day.
I don't even know where there's... I'm almost tempted to go get some MAC lipstick. You have to go on Sunday?
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know.
You're a lady. You can try all the different stuff, and no one's going to even say anything to you. What are you doing in the lipstick? Well, I don't know.
I feel silly with lipstick on, to tell you the truth. I feel really self-conscious about it. I guess if I got something really close to my lip color, then maybe that would be... But then what's the point of that? I just put my regular lip gloss on.
What happened to you?
I don't know. Just never honestly, been
what happened
thing.
To you where you along the way... But you have been.
I've tried. There have
been
times
when I've
tried.
You used to wear heels in your youth. You used to, you know, do your hair up.
I know,
and...
that's true. Well, I was in a band. I felt like I had to, you know. Even outside of that, I'd never really done any of that. I've always hated dresses.
Did it feel like a kooky costume then?
A little. Felt like a stage getup, you know?
Even though you were at the mall, you felt done up.
The mall?
I don't know. I mean, when you're like a teenager, were you know?
No, when I was a teenager, I just wore whatever clothes I had on. I wasn't
dressed.
But when I had my hair all ratted out, it was in, there were actual like knots. It couldn't be brushed out. It was, so that was my hair at all times. So even though I'd just have jeans and a t-shirt on, I'd have this big mop of hair. I used to love my hair like that.
Right. Well, it was the 80s.
Yeah, it was easy, too. Like, I didn't have to do anything to it.
Dog owners already know this about them. That's why we love dogs so much. According to a new study, researchers found that when dogs heard their owners crying, dogs would do whatever it took to get to their owner.
Aww.
They would push through a door to get to their owner to help them.
So they understand sadness.
Mm-hmm.
I feel
distress.
If I cry, Ella.
Oh, no!
Well, I'm sure Daisy did it, too.
I think Daisy would do it, but both of them would lick my tears.
Oh.
You know.
And even if you're not crying, your dog develops the ability to tell when you're not feeling okay, and they try to help you out. Even if that just means licking your face. Yeah, Willow would come up and put her paw on me.
Aww.
And I'd be like, there's nothing you can do.
Well, she just wants to be there for you.
Dogs are awesome.
Or I feel like my dog sabotages me.
Oh.
What?
What do you mean?
I'm washing the dishes and he comes and lays like right behind my leg. So as soon as I turn around, I'm like, ah! What are you always doing that for?
Pathway pets are a real thing. Just want you to trip over them for some reason. I think maybe Ella just likes the taste of tears.
Oh, likes the salt?
Yeah, she's like, oh my God, she's crying. Let me get in there.
I'm hungry.
I love tears. Delicious.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. Here's a couple. I love Greg. Love his podcast. 707 says, my dad would take the hanging plants outside, water them, let them hang out to dry, and then bring them back in.
Oh. It's a lot of work.
That was pretty typical, though.
Yeah, you had to. Otherwise, it was just going to drip. You had to have buckets all over your house. Remember, my mom had this one, like, really cool spider plant. You know, the ones that they have, like, a long, like, long stems that come down.
Yes, we had that, too.
That and pothos, I think it's called. It almost looks like an ivy, but it drapes down. It just got humongous. And she'd drape it up over the curtain rod and stuff.
So all this crap we all grew up with was just the trend, the thing. Legal edibles now have to be tested to have even dose throughout the entire edible, says 925. Well, that's good.
Someone signing up for testing?
I'll test that.
Well, you're going to... It does seem like the market is going to have to get professional.
Yes.
About it.
Absolutely.
And that's been an issue. And I certainly have heard some of the organic pot is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to find pot without so much chemicals that you're inhaling all this stuff.
Right.
Makes sense, right?
It does, absolutely. We're all looking for organic everything.
Anyway, we'll take a break and come back to the text after these.
Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.